I'd ask you to go ahead and turn in your Bibles, the Pew Bibles, to Revelation 3:14. Most times, and I've done the same thing, just looking at this church at Laodicea, we immediately jump into their assessment. And we begin to dissect this thing of them being, of it being a lukewarm church and defining that. And we'll do that, some of that, this morning. But I really want to turn that focus on that request. You heard it. It's me, Jesus. If any man hears my voice, recognizes the knock, and opens the door, and lets me in, I will come in. And I will sup with him and he with me. That's an interesting picture, isn't it? I will sup with him and he with me. Isn't it something about eating a meal with somebody that opens the door for very personal and even intimate conversations? Sometimes I go out and I eat with some of you, and we've had some interesting conversations, and I enjoy those conversations. I enjoy any time. I was just telling Marina today, I've got to get back over and have a cup of tea with her, just to talk. There's something about that, isn't there? With a meal, with a drink, that the barriers seem to just come down. And that conversation happens. And that's the picture that Jesus is saying is absolutely essential. Vital. Vital is probably a better word. Vital for this church. Because this church does not, if it does not bring Jesus into that door, this church is not going to survive. So here's my focus on this one. Here's what I want you to understand. The first and foremost is Jesus desires to be with us. He desires to be with us. He wants to be with us. Think about that for a moment. The Son of God, who had his part in the creation of the universe. The Son of God, who along with the Father and along with the Holy Spirit not only brought all things into existence, but he's also the one that is going to be bringing all things to an end. The Son of God, who taking on the form of the Son of Man, makes salvation a reality. If for any other reason, just because Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and just because he rose again to give me the hope of eternal life, if nothing else that Jesus has done, just that alone is more than enough to want him to come in and have a personal relationship with me. Isn't it? That and that alone. But he does so much more. Remember in John chapter 14, he tells the disciples, do not be sad, for I go away. And I go to prepare a place for you. Not just any place. A place of peace, a place of comfort. A place with no sickness, no death, no sorrow. A place, he says, where I am, you may be also. It's It's a place with Him. A place with Him. The greatest man who ever lived and who will ever live. No one will surpass the greatness of Jesus Christ. No one. And He wants to have a relationship with each one of us. Do you hear it? The knock is there, isn't it? He desires. That's why. Two reasons. Jesus became the Son of Man. Two reasons. The Son of God, who was equally the Son of Man, went through everything He went through. The Son of Man, who grew up like any child, who became a young man like any young man, who took on a trade and was very good at his trade. His father, his stepfather, Joseph, was a great teacher for him. This Son of Man, who then, hearing the call of God the Father, began his ministry. And there were a lot of times in his ministry, he had nowhere to lay his head. There was that one time in his ministry where he went off into the wilderness fasting and praying, preparing his heart to go face to face with the devil himself. This man who knew he was going to be rejected, deserted, beaten, falsely accused and arrested, convicted, tortured, and eventually executed for you and me. He did all of that because He loved His Father, and His desire was to do His will. And the Father, because He loves you, sent Jesus to do this. But Jesus also loved us. He even loved the ones who crucified Him. The ones who beat Him, black and blue. The Roman guards who took the scourge and ripped His flesh right off His back. He said, you remember? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's how deep His love is. When Peter denied Him, remember the conversation when the two of them met up and were walking along the lake, the Sea of Galilee? Jesus says, do you love me? Three times, do you love me? Do you love me? You see, here's what's happening here, and here's why this church is what it is. It's like many churches today. There are many churches without Jesus. And what they do, they kind of repackage Jesus. I grew up in one of those denominations. A denomination who's gone through a huge split in the past couple years over issues that are biblically condemning of. They want peace on earth. Can I tell you something? Peace on earth is not why I'm here. I'm here to lead people to have peace with God. Peace on earth will only come when Christ Himself returns. There's nothing wrong with desiring it, but realizing, and it will happen, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. But sadly, there will be many who will never experience that. We're not really about all of the causes out there. You can list all the causes. it's not really the emphasis. You remember Jesus telling the people? He says to them, he says, "Come into my rest, because when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was homeless, you gave me a bed. When I was in prison, you came and you visited me." And they will say, "Lord, when did we do this?" And he says, "When you did this to the least of these, my brothers, you did it unto me." That's why. That's why, and we're going to be involved in one of those causes here at the end of May, when we hopefully, as many of you will go with us, and we do the walk of life. But the walk of life has no meaning if it doesn't move from this life, earthly life, and brings people to eternal life. That's why my heart, we need to speak up for what is right. We need to shout out for what is good. But with the tag for Jesus. Okay. You see, this church didn't see that it had any real needs. He says, "I know your works, you're neither cold nor hot." Let me address that real quick, because a lot of people use that as opposites. Well, they are kind of opposites, hot and cold. And they say, "I'd rather you be wicked than just lukewarm." No. I want you to get a picture here. The picture of Laodicea had a stream that started up here, and these cooling waters would float down into a hot spring. And then that hot spring would roll this way, and it would just sit there, moving from hot to lukewarm and being putrid. That's what Jesus is saying. This is a church that is putrid. It's a tepid church. Waters that would do nothing. Cool waters soothe your thirst, don't they? And even in some cases, cold water is very therapeutic. You get hurt, what's the first thing they want you to do? Put ice on it. Right? And then the hot water comes in and it relaxes. It causes the blood to flow quickly through. But their water was over here, good for nothing. So Jesus says, "I know your works. I wish you were either cold or hot, but because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." People can do a lot of religious things, and they can do a lot of those religious things in the name of Jesus, and it means nothing. Doesn't mean a thing. I was going to say something. I'm debating. You know, I got so many things going on up here. It's like I got all these voices. I was going to make a kind of a humorous comment, but I don't know. Okay. Here's what it is. There's an old song. It says, "If you ain't got that swing, it don't mean a thing." If you don't have this relationship with Jesus Christ, none of this means anything. Both terms, personally as well as corporately, it's about Jesus Christ. And it's very easy for Jesus. We can be doing all of the stuff and not know Jesus at all. You know, one of the saddest verses in scriptures in Matthew 7, when Jesus says there in the Sermon on the Mount, he say, "In that day, many will come to me. And they will say, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not do miracles in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? And it says, and Jesus will turn, and Jesus will look, and Jesus will say, depart from me. Now listen to this piece. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. If you don't have that personal relationship with Christ, and if we don't have that corporate relationship where all of us, it's about Jesus, then we aren't His. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing. Because of this town was very much a town of medicine, a town where medicines, a town of healing, a town, and they were saying, we don't need anything. We've got everything now in this life. Can I tell you? I got to do something here. And you'll know why, because of what happened last week. Okay, it's in the front pocket. I got to have a talk with you. The greatest man who ever lived is a man who desires for you and him on a daily basis to have conversation. A man, even though he knows what's going on, he just wants the privilege of you sharing your life with him. You hear it? Every day, do you hear it? This is a church that was comfortable. They had everything that they thought they could ever need. They were defining their lives by the fruits of an earthly life. We are fortunate. Even in the most difficult, we're most fortunate here because of all that we have. Because of all we're able to do, we are so fortunate of the blessings that we have. But don't confuse the blessings with the relationship. You know why you have those blessings? First of all, for you, it's a reminder of how good God is to us. And it's only a taste of what eternity will be when we are with Him in His presence. Every blessing is a reminder of what is yet to come. Those blessings are good, but they are not comparable to what it will be. Don't rest on the blessing. Grow in the relationship. Jesus alone, in accordance with the work of the Holy Spirit, He alone prepares us for eternity. It's not a seminar. It's not a book. Jesus prepares us for eternity. He says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. You know why we don't want Jesus? For that very reason. Sometimes our conversations with Jesus hurts. It hurts. He just doesn't tell us all the good stuff. Jesus is a good confronter. I don't like to do confrontations. I will. Well, maybe I do. Depends. It's taken me a while to get to that point. But Jesus confronts. Remember, I am the way, the truth. Our conversations with Jesus will always bring out the truth. And the truth hurts. But the truth is necessary to get our lives right with God. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. And repent. How often should we repent? That's a trick question. Repentance isn't a one-time thing. Repentance is the product of a life with Jesus. And it's okay to repent. In fact, it's necessary to repent. It's like working out. Oh, there are days I just don't want to work out, and it shows. But it's necessary to hurt sometimes, isn't it? For your spiritual health, it's necessary to hear the words of Christ and repent. Repent. He's knocking at your door. Every morning you wake up, if you listen, and you gotta listen carefully, you'll hear it. But it's not a loud, no, 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 no. It's a very subtle. Gentle knock. Will you listen for it tomorrow? Will you listen for it on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Will you listen for the... And will you let him in? Let's pray. Our Father, I thank you that you care for us and that your focus, your intent from the very creation itself has been on us. These humans that you've created like you so that we might know you. But at times we get comfortable. At times we close our eyes to sin. But you've given us your Son, not only to pay the penalty for our sin, but also to be in our lives, showing us, helping us to become the persons you wanted us to be when you created us. Thank you for the work that you do through the Holy Spirit. And Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for being a dear friend and someone who never, ever gives up knocking. It's in your name we pray. Amen.